Bezrat Hashem, Reuven Levy learning with you. Gana Shalom, the God of peace. Been away for a few days. I hope our Shalom Bayit has managed to last in the meantime without learning every single day. Very difficult, very difficult. Tov, let's, with Hashem's help, learn some more of Rav Arish's wisdom on how to have a happy home. We're in page 119 of the Hebrew version. We're in a chapter called Respect Your Wife. How to respect your wife. Not so simple. Sounds good. Respect your wife. Yeah, we all do that. Respect. Yeah. There's not a husband out there. Well, probably a few. There's not a real husband out there that doesn't say that he respects his wife. Everyone says that. However, truth is, it's not so easy. You see, it's easy to respect your wife when everything's going well. When you're still in the honeymoon, it's not so hard. But when things are not going well, and when your wife is, for reasons known best to Hashem, giving you a hard time, now, that's when the work starts. To see if you really respect your wife or not. A man's respect for his wife is not conditional, it's unconditional. Doesn't matter what's happening in the home, doesn't matter how she's treating me, my obligation towards her is unconditional, always. Okay, so what were we reading here? So here we're reading about what to do, what a man needs to do when things are difficult. In this section, Rav Arish is talking about what happens when the wife is causing her husband difficulties. She's not letting him do what he wants to do. He wants to go to see his friend. He wants to go to a chavuta. He wants to go to a Torah class. He wants to, something that he wants to do, and his wife is not letting him go. So, we were learning that. That's the last thing we learned. We learned over there that his wife is really saying she needs attention. She needs something from him. She's calling out, she's crying out to him. The only way she knows how to get his attention is by stopping him from doing what he wants. She doesn't really want to stop you. She loves you very much. But even more than that, she knows you've got a job to do in this world. She knows, subconsciously anyway, she knows that your job is to look after her. And if you're not doing your job, she's got to stop you from doing everything else. Because she knows that's why you're here. And she knows subconsciously too, that's why she's here. She's here to make sure you do that job. So her job is to make sure we get the message. The Ikar HaBizyonot, the main rebukes that come to a person, come to a man, Ba'im Biglal Shehu Pogeya B'Brit Kodesh. They come because the husband has blemished the holy covenant. He's not kadosh. He's not holy. He has been unholy. He's been unsneers. He has had his eyes wandering. He may have even been doing things worse than that. And therefore he's going to get rebuked by his wife. There is no suffering in this world, Gemara tells us, Ein Yisurin V'lo Avon. There's no suffering in this world without prior transgression. We're getting rebuked because we deserve it. It doesn't happen for no reason. It happens firstly because Hashem is trying to put us back on the right track, but it only happens also because we did some transgression that led to it, because otherwise we won't be suffering. Hashem doesn't make us suffer for no reason. We're suffering because it's a kapara for the avanot. The avanot. The main avonot, as we know from men, are in Pagama Brit. Ki yadua davar, shemisha Pagama Brit, ishto mana get it lo, because it's a known thing, Rabbi Arish tells us. A person who is Pogem the Brit, a person who is messed up in this area, ishto mana get it lo, his wife is against him. It's what causes his wife to become against him. Like it says, Ha'aseh lo ezeh kenegdo. Hashem says in the Torah that he makes the wife ezeh kenegdo. What does that mean? Darshu Chazal. Chazal explained this. Zacha, if he merits it, Na'aseh lo ezeh, she is his helper. V'lo zacha, if he doesn't merit it, kenegdo, then she's against him. She's ezeh kenegdo, she's both. So one explanation is she's both, she's a helper and she's against you. Depends on you. If you're doing what you're meant to be doing, she's your helper. And if not, she's against you. She's only against you in order to put me back on the right track. But she's against you. How does that manifest itself? Rebukes, criticism, etc. Zacha. So he goes further. Chazal said Zacha.
Isn't it very easy?
What is it?
And you listen to your wife and you do everything. But she's your helper, you have good life.
Nachon.
But why are we so stupid?
But why what?
Why are we so stupid?
Why we're stupid? We're stupid. We have the Yetzer Hara that makes us stupid. The Yetzer Hara makes us stupid. The person doesn't sin unless unless the Ruach Shtut enters his brain. It's the Yetzer Hara. Right? Hashem gave us the Yetzer Hara. We don't want to sin. We're good. We want to do good, but why do we sin? Because the Yetzer Hara makes us sin. Hashem wants us to sin, so we fall down and we pick ourselves up and we have a rat's on to do good. We have more rat's on and more rat's on. Because that's how we're building, that's how we're creating. That's anything we can give Hashem is our rat's on. So how do you get rat's on? Only have rat's on if there's something to have rat's on for. If we're living in Gan Eden, there's no rat's on, there's like just everything's great. Who's got a rat's on? It's just coming to yeshiva, going home, eating, sleeping, coming to yeshiva, working, whatever. There's no rat. But if I fall, now I need rat's on to pick myself up. Ah, so now I've revealed that I have rat's on.
So how is it when people do not merit you? How do you find the balance with the correct thing?
So Nachman says that a person who's not married, he has all the struggles inside himself. When you have a family, so the troubles and the struggles and difficulties are shared out between everyone. The wife struggles with friends or with health, and the children struggle with, I don't know, not understanding their school studies. But if you haven't got anything, there's only you. So all of that is your world. So Rav Nachman says, if you've got only you, so you have to go through everything yourself. You're fighting yourself constantly, you've got problems with health, you've got problems with learning, you've got problems with friends, because it's all in you, because there's only you. Right? When you've got a family, it's spread out. Everybody takes a little bit, your wife takes a little bit of suffering, the kids take a bit of suffering. It's not so great, but it's shared out. But otherwise, you have to go through all the battles yourself internally.
That's much harder. When you suffer, then your wife, it means you have something wrong. Because it's painful. So it means that I did something.
It's for me to fix. My wife is upset. It's still the mirror. I still need to fix me. But she's the one who has to suffer.
So I
suffer by watching her, and I need to work on it.
When you're very healthy, you suffer too. You know, understand?
How?
Your wife's leg is your leg. So you feel the pain.
Yeah, I should feel the pain. I should, ideally.
When
I get to the level of having sympathy with my wife, which I need to work at, because it doesn't stop. Right, we don't have that immediately. We don't get to be Rabbi Ariel Levine, who feels his wife's pain. Are you in pain? Okay, take an aspirin. Enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't feel nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't feel anything. That's terrible. But we'll get to a place where it's not easy, because once you start feeling the pain, you feel the pain. It's right. It's like we need to. They say this on the. My friend told me that they say this on the 12-step program where he was in recovery. I don't know what they call it there, but recovery, whatever. It's the same thing. They all do the same program.
12-step program.
Right? He said that they say that I can't remember the exact phrasing, but he says that the benefit, the good thing about therapy is that you get your emotions back. The bad thing about it is that you get your emotions back. Right? you start to feel. Imagine when you start to feel. You start to feel it's very painful. I switched off. I don't feel nothing. Everything's great, wonderful. And now I'm starting to feel. Ah! I start to feel. Right? That's Baruch Hashem. That's where we want to get to. We want to get to a place where we start to feel.
In 12 step, you're the problem, and then you're the solution.
What's the solution?
The 12 step program going through.
Oh, I see. But we
you first have to identify the problem. That's why people go through therapy. But it's like the 12-step program is far better than therapy.
Right. But the ideal is that we want to start to feel. We don't want to be here with a heart of stone. We know we have a heart that's covered in klipot. It's covered in heart of stone, covered in klipot, whatever you want to describe it. It's the same idea. That we're dead. We don't feel. We don't feel the pain. We don't feel the sorrow. We don't feel upset. We don't feel other people. We can do it. We can get there. For sure, we can get there. But it's about a question of ratzon, right? Hashem takes us where we want to go. If we don't want to, we're never going to get there. If I'm not interested in feeling my wife's pain, it just doesn't bother me. Not interested. Do you want to feel it? No, don't care. So I'm never going to feel it. So I don't care. I don't want to feel it. Not interested. So Hashem deals with us the way we want to go. If I genuinely want to feel her pain, I want to be with her, I want to sympathize with her, then what does it mean? It means I have to pray for that, because it's not going to come any other way. I have to show Hashem that I have a ratzon. How do I show him that I have a ratzon? I pray on it, I say, Hashem, I want to feel my wife's pain. I don't want to be cold-hearted, I don't want to be like a table. I want to have feelings. And I ask Hashem. And then Hashem says, "Stop! If you're honest, you really do. Fine, I'm going to give it to you." And he does. But only if we ask, only if we actually want it.
When you're ready, because when you start,
but you're ready when you want it. Yeah. When you really want it. When you really want it, then you're ready. Otherwise, you actually don't want it. You're just saying, because why? Because I read it in the book, it sounds good. Rabbi Arush said you should have it, so Tov, I want it too. Oh, yeah, I want it. I don't really want it. Right? I don't really want it. And that takes a while to get there. Right? It's like Shmirat Inayim. Yeah, I should give me Shmirat Inayim. I don't want Shmirat Inayim. I like the fact that I look at all the women. I like it. I don't want to do you want it. Oh, no, I'm afraid. Hashem, give me Shmirat Inayim. Give me Shmirat Inayim. He doesn't give it to me. I've been asking and he doesn't give it to me. Why? Because I don't really want it. I'm just saying it. I don't really want it. When I really want it, then he's going to give it to me. But that's going to take me a while. I need to work on that with truth. And I'm not going to get that by saying, Hashem, give me Shmirat Inayim. I'll do that for 20 years. And at the end of 20 years, I'll complain I never got it. It doesn't work. See, it doesn't work. 20 years, half an hour a day, like the Rav said, nothing happened. Why? I spent 20 years lying. I was lying for 20 years. Hashem, give me Shmirat Inayim. Hashem said, you're lying. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to do it. So, you don't want Shmirat Inayim. So what do I need to do? Instead of praying on Shmirat, please give me Shmirat Inayim. And you pray on the truth. Hashem, I like looking at women. I don't want Shmirat Inayim. Help me. Help me. I'm not even there. Please show me how I can even get there. Give me a desire in my heart that I should want such a thing, because I don't. Start with truth. Then he's going to take me to where he's going to give me the words, he's going to give me the understanding. My mind's going to change, my views are going to change. But only if I'm coming from a place of truth.
Let's say you get up for a tour.
Yeah.
But you're doing nothing. It's good to get up, or
I don't know. I don't get up for chatzot. I had a time a few years ago where I did get up for chatzot. Not usually at chatzot, but I got up early before davening, 3-4 o'clock, whenever it was. And I did my chatzot then. I did it for, I know how long, most nights for a number of months, quite a few months. And then, I can't remember the reason, but I stopped doing it. Not like I'd have tried, I don't remember making a choice and say, right, that's it, I'm not doing it. I don't remember, it just stopped. I think the clocks changed or something changed, my schedule changed, I don't know. And I wasn't getting anything, I was doing it, but I wasn't like feeling anything, I was just
saying.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it now, I see that it wasn't real. Hashem was showing me that I could do it. But I didn't really have it. It was a gift. It wasn't like I earned it. If I'm going to do it again, then I believe that it will come from a true place. But I'm not ready yet. I don't want to do it. I haven't got to actually make it. Hashem gave me that for free. Tov, you want to do it, let's do it. You can see that you can do it, and you're free. But it has value, for sure. And in Shemayim, it's there. When I'll go up there, I'll see that. And I wish that I had been it the whole time. But it wasn't
a problem. Wasn't for you. So when I read this book here about the big tzaddikim, and they get up for Ratzot, they start to cry and meet him, you know. Then
So I think that when I go back to do it, out of Ratzot, then I'll don't know if I'll cry, but I'll be doing it because of. But I haven't got that. I know that's not in me right now. So that's why, I think it would be. Now would feel false. To do it again now, for me, it would for me to feel like pretending and pretend. I'm doing it for my ego. I do chatzot, right, just for me. So I don't want to do it. But if I wanted to do it, I think I would now pray on it. I think I would like spend time praying, Hashem, please let me want to do chatzot, and that I should get up and do it. And then, at some point, after the prayers, a week, 2 weeks, a few, I don't know how long that would be, then I would have it in me, I'd actually, and that would be it. I think. That's how I think it should work. All the hitzvodot, all the changes have to come from a place of truth. Have to come from a place of ratzon. Because Hashem works very simply, right? If you what's free will? If you want it, it'll happen. If you want it, you get it. You just have to want it. And we say, yeah, but I want it and I didn't get it. Don't really want it. It's not there. It's not really there.
Many times you pray for something, and then you see you lie. Understand? Hashem tests you with something, and you feel
you see, but it's good. But it's good because it's teaching us about. I've always said, you know, we have to know who we are. We have to know ourselves, and not just have this pretend image of who we want to be. Even here, or even maybe especially when we come to a place like this, and we see, we get given the picture of what it means to be a good Jew or to be a Breslover, to be a student of Rav Arash. Right? You do this, you do that. Right? So there's a. There's a Yetzer Hara, I guess you could call it, to just want a copy, right? To let's do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get up for next. I'm going to get up for Chatzot. I'm going to do Hafatzah. I'm going to do all these things, and then that's going to be me. Like I'm going to put the coat on, the jacket, and then I'm going to get the pairs, and then that's it. I'm the man. I've sorted it, but I haven't.
Did this feel? I mean, today when you talk about the exchange, understand? Maybe it's not only the negative. You trust something, you make right after, and then you realize you
realize it's not.
No. Bring you to some place, and you wake up.
Very good. Where the exchange?
You're wondering, the tzaddik say here, why you run after you sin? The yes is right.
Because sometimes the truth is we. The way we seem to do it, like, is that we do that. We do it for lo lishma, and then we come to lishma, right? So we do put on, grow payers, and put on a nice jacket, and it's not really me. But Mezrat Hashem is going to grow into me. I'm going to get there, even though I started off not correct, right? I started to do tikkun hatzot, and it was just I did it for my ego to start with. But eventually, Mezrat Hashem, I'm going to. So it doesn't have to be that it's wrong. But it has to be that there has to be something that real that comes on after it. I can't stay just as a shell.
But sometimes Hashem show you in one thing that the whole hell, understand? You see, you realize, I do it only for my ego.
Today I told my chavuta, in having chavuta Rabbi Mordechai, we'll be learning Gemara together. Gevaldik. But the last 2 days from Rav Dror, the message for me, I'm not saying for anyone, for me, it's very clear. Tachlit. It's not Tachlit. Tachlit, I've cancelled my learning with Rav Mordechai, I'm now going back to learning Chumash Rashi. I'm missing out the foundations, and I'm learning Gemara with Daf Yomi, and it's nice. And
I have a friend too. He was for months here in the yeshiva, and he said, "No, I don't like this yeshiva because they're not teaching Rosh Chodesh Nachman. They 70% or 60% or more have to be teaching Rabbi Nachman." So the most what he learned is about Rabbi Nachman and Gemara.
Right.
This yeshiva is not a preschool, it's more Gemara.
Right.
It's like he's flying.
Without any connection to the ground.
When you read Rabbi Nachman, when you talk about Rabbi Nathan, what you have to learn here, it's most was Gemara.
Yeah. Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, Halacha, basics, right?
Maybe it goes off track or pressures to stay with at least one Gemara class.
Nachon. So I have Gemara, right? I teach a Gemara class. So my Gemara is Baruch Hashem, right?
Oh, okay.
So, but on top of that, I was having this other Gemara share with Rav Mordechai, and I'm missing out on things like Chumash, right? If you don't read the Parsha every week, right, then you're missing it. Like, I'm learning teaching Gemara, but I'm not even learning Parsha with Rashi. There's something missing. I'm missing cut off the basis to work on the higher stuff.
But it's the most in the yeshiva.
What?
The most people, they're not learning the Parasha. They learn Gemara,
Okay, so I'm not. So maybe that's not correct. Maybe that's correct. But for me, I need to be great. If I want to move higher in a safe way that's not going to damage me, I need to be holding on to the floor. Yeah.
The other question would be: let's say you take katsos. Someone's not married.
Yeah.
And they're interested in katsos. They really can't. You wouldn't be able to really tell if that was the right track. If somebody's married, then you have a wife, and Hashem could respond to the wife whether.
Even if you're not married, Hashem can still talk to you.
Right.
So you don't need to be married. Marriage is Baruch Hashem is wonderful, and it has many additional aspects like this, like the fact that your wife is a mirror. But even without that, Hashem is still talking to you and giving you messages, right? To know whether or not you're on the right. Am I happy doing it? Is it making me? Is it ruining my life? Is it right? If I get up for Chatzot, do I feel terrible in the morning? I shouldn't feel terrible. If I just did something very spiritual, very meaningful, then I should wake up in the morning like on fire. Mm-hmm. Even though I'd missed 2 hours of sleep. If it was 2 hours filled with something holy, I haven't lost anything, I haven't missed anything. But if that's not the case, and I've just missed 2 hours of sleep, I remember 2 hours, and I didn't get anything out of it, so I wake up in the morning feeling terrible. So then I know that it's... I didn't do something holy then. I should have kept the sleep that was more holy, and at least my day is now stronger, if that's the case.
Right, or because it could be just learning after Chasos, or it could be waking up for his body.
I can do other things at Chasos as well, like learning or Hezbollah. Right. And that might be more better for me for where I'm holding right now. Right now, at that time, it's great for me to do Hezbollah, for example. Could be. I'm not saying it is, but
no,
could be.
Exactly.
So if that's true, then I'm going to know, because in the morning, I'm going to be flying. I did an amazing body good in the night. Baruch Hashem, I just feel great today. And my life. But if not, if I just fell asleep. So it's not my time. It's not my time.
Well, if someone's not married, as opposed to when you're in a marriage, you get some feedback from the wife. That's a significant thing. You get up at 2 in the morning, you're going to get direct feedback whether that would be necessarily the thing as opposed to...
Bezrat Hashem, a person's wife, is good to tell him whether or not she thinks it's a good idea. Because, for a start, she knows me, and I can't really lie to her. I can lie to myself a lot easier than I can lie to my wife. She's got me sussed, right? She knows what's good. And also, plus, she's a messenger from Hashem. So even if she doesn't really know me, and she doesn't, right, whatever she says is still coming from Hashem, really. So it's also good. And if I don't have that, so I ask a Rebbe, ask Rav Dror, do you think it's a good idea for me to do that sort? I can ask them, take an opinion from someone that I trust. That sort of thing.
But also taking the from the earlier discussion, some of the stories that stayed in happiness, any type of fear, again, it's being able to go out and admit the truth and stay in happiness, but admit the discussion this morning. Admit the truth.
But the truth makes us happy. We're very relieved. To tell the truth is a big thing. Even though it's right, Ajor has the nice phrase which he says, Hashem is more happy with your most disgusting truth than your most fancy lie. Right? Fancy lies are Hashem. I just want to be with you, and I want to guard my eyes. I want to be so holy, and I want to be kadosh. Right? It's a very nice lie. It sounds beautiful, wonderful. It's a big lie. Right? And the truth is, Hashem, I'm completely sick. I just get kicks from looking at women. I look at this woman, that woman. Doesn't matter what she is, how old she is. Right? And that's the truth. And it's disgusting. Hashem wants that. We actually feel good about getting that. we do feel. It doesn't make us depressed.
But now you have to. You have to get that out in happiness?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not a contradiction. It's not impossible to do that in happiness. Right? It's a relief. It's a relief when I have the words. Hashem lets me get those words out. And I can say that to Hashem. Beforehand, there's a big Yetzer Hara. You can't say that. You can't go there. Don't look in there. Don't open that box. Close that box. Close, leave the lid on, lock it. We're not looking in there. It's big Yetzer Hara. There's dimmi or not, I'm scared, it's frightening, it's going to ruin everything, you're going to destroy yourself, you're going to destroy the world, you're going to destroy your life, you're going to destroy your marriage, don't even think about it. It's all a lie. Once I open the lid, I say, Hashem, this is what's in the box, and it's very horrible. And I feel this, and I feel that, and I want to hate this person and kill that person. I want to sleep with that woman and that woman. Whatever it is in the box that's not nice. Once it's out, thank God. Now I'm free. I've let out all the demons. They're no longer, because they're inside. Otherwise, this box over here, it's inside me. I carry this around with me the whole time. Just lying to myself. What do I do? I take the box, open it, get it all out. And the thing is, that big Yetzer Hara that said it was so scary, it's going to destroy you. He's gone. Where are you now? I've got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say. You've just taken his power. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't say that. And you say it. And you look around for the crash. It's all going to fall. Where's the lightning bolt? Oh. Actually, nothing happened. And actually, I feel much better. And actually, I've just cleaned off all that baggage that I was carrying around for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I've just ditched it. It's no longer part of me. So I gave it back to Hashem. I gave it back to him.
And Rabbeinu cleans it all for us because we connect to Rabbeinu.
Nachon, and he takes it right. He takes it back to Hashem. He gives us the power to do that. Right? You and me can sit in this yeshiva and we can go to the field and tell Hashem our most disgusting truths. Like what I just explained.
Okay.
Right? But the guy who's works in the shop on the corner, who's a good Jew, you tell him to go to the field and do it, like, he can't do that. Yeah, I tell because he hasn't got a pipe, he hasn't got a connection, doesn't know the right, doesn't. We, through Abedu, we have the ability to do that. We have the koach, the ability.
Sometimes you, today, I fell. Yeah, the morning I was walking and I drive home, then I fight with the motorcycle driver. He was faster than I was there, and then he was before me, and he would always stop. Yeah, and so I was with him, like in the story, I run after my sins. Yeah? And I was like, I can kill this guy again. I don't know my mind.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, in the end, he made a sign I made by Bali. Yeah? So then I realized, I said, I'm stupid. I'm studying yeshiva every day. I have people to do it and fight with the motorcycle like a.
No, it's good. It's good.
Then I said to Hashem, sorry. I go, my mind was so bad. And I was, I can kill this guy.
You're fair. So that's what he wants. Hashem says, I've put inside you all of these terrible midot. And he has. right? When everyone, including us, terrible B-dot, anger, hatred, lust, it's all in there. And I want you to take it out. Don't leave it inside. I put it inside you so that you're going to take it out. It's called birur, right? The birur process that everything got mixed up together, right? In when we ate from the tree of eight, that tov and ra. Inside, the ra went inside and it all got mixed up, right? Like, just like when you eat an apple from the tree, right? Then that apple goes, some goes into your hands and some goes into your legs and they go into your cells and your bodies and your blood. And it's all in there now. It's mixed up. Can't find it. We want to take it out. It's all in there. So what does he make us do? He gives us a motorcycle that's going to make you really angry. So I want you to know that you have that in you and you need to tell me to take it out. Not to pretend, for example, I don't get angry, I don't get angry. No, I never get angry. Hashem is going to say, I'm going to make you really, really angry so that you say, Hashem, I'm angry, I hate people, I can't stand them, I want to kill them. Hashem, take that away from me, it's horrible, I don't want to be like that. And then he can take it. But if I'm pretending the whole time, I don't get angry, I don't hate people, right? But Abdul sits in the class and says, you hate people, you get angry, you want to kill people, and I sit there going, no, I don't do that. Not me. There's somebody else maybe, but not me. Then fine, I'm stuck. It's not coming. It's staying inside. It's not going anywhere. Unless Hashem makes me admit it, identify it, see that it is in me, which he does by making me fall. Puts me in a situation where I finally have to admit, you know what, you're right. You're right, I do want to kill the guy. Fine, you're right. Thank you, Hashem, you are right. I was lying the whole time. Thank you for showing me that it's true. I do want to kill people. And once I see that, I can get rid of that bad mida. But if I never see that, that bad mida is staying there. It's not going anywhere. 120, I go up to heaven, and they check you out. They do a body scan and see what bad mida you still got. What happened to that anger? That you want to kill people. You never got rid of that. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was true. I wanted that. I never got rid of it. But now, because he's showing me that I really hate people and I want to kill them, so now I can go to Hashem, get rid of that. I hate people, I want to kill them, and it's not right, and I don't want it, and get it out of me, and it's disgusting, and I hate it, and I hate myself that I even think that. Please take it away. Or maybe even, that's the eventual. The first is, I hate him, and I don't care, and I like the fact I hate him, because he's killing me. I love it that I hate him. And I'm holding on to that. I don't want it to go. I like it. It's part of me. I hate him, and it's good. Right? I need to start with that because that's truth. Because otherwise I wouldn't still have it. If I didn't like it, it would have gone long ago. But I'm still holding on to it, right? So I need to, and eventually I can get rid of it. And then that's clean, I'm clean.
No, then I feel a little bit guilty. That maybe Hashem will test you. Let's say embarrassment, yeah? How you act in this situation. You quiet, you clean up your blood. Understand?
You can't be. That's only after teshuva. After teshuva, Rav Nachman writes that the ikka of teshuva is when that happens and you're quiet. That means you've done teshuva. That means you no longer have that midah inside you. When next time, if you've been to the field and you've shared, take it away, please take it away, and you've done that, how long? A week, 2 weeks, 5 years, however long? Then the mitzvah cycle comes along and does exactly the same thing. Shouts at you, rebukes you, calls you all the names. You're like, it's not there. And you look, you're like, didn't it bother me? Didn't affect me? I didn't care. And then you know you've done teshuva. Then you hit Torah number 6, where it says exactly that. That's the ikka of teshuva. When you get to that same point, the same thing happens again, and you.
I have a picture in my mind. The was sitting on the motorcycle and was making.
100%. He was.
Yes.
He was, and he was good, and he was showing you. This is for you. This is a gift. This is a gift that I can now see that, and get rid of it.
No, you clean that out. Just clean it. That has to be done in happiness. I mean, it has to be done
at some point. Maybe not on the first time. Maybe the first time I just feel sick and I feel bad and I can't believe I got angry and I'm just beating myself up top. There's a starting point, and eventually I'm going to get a place where I can do it.
We're not living with rest.
Because it's also at some point you're supposed to tell the truth and then take responsibility for it, in essence.
Yeah, that is the confession.
Are from above but from below.
Not responsibility. It's not responsibility for the incident because it was from Hashem. Hashem caused me to fall.
Right.
I'm acknowledging that I did it.
Okay.
I got angry, and that's against your Torah. You don't want me to do that, Hashem, and I regret that I did that. But to get to that regret, that's going to tear, right? Because maybe I don't regret it. He deserved it. I would have given him more. If he wouldn't have driven off, I would have, right? So I don't regret. I'm very pleased I shouted at him. I would have given him a lot more if he would have let me. So initially, I haven't done completely teshuva. I admit, you're right, Hashem, and it was wrong. Do I regret it? Not really. Hashem, you've got to help me regret it. Hashem, please help me regret it. Right now, I quite like being angry. Makes me feel powerful, makes me feel good, at least it's something I can be successful at, right? Whatever it's giving me something that I like, so I don't want to get rid of it just yet. So I can't do teshuva on it completely yet, because I haven't got the regret bit. But I need to ask, I need to stay with it and work on it. That's why working on midot is a long time, right? To fix a midah. To do teshuva, teshuva you do all the time. I did something wrong, I need to do teshuva, and Hashem takes it away. Right? You broke Shabbat, you did et, you were whatever. You do teshuva, and then you're clean. But the midah is not clean. You can't just clean away your midah. I got angry, I'm sorry, it's gone. No more but anger. Don't talk about that. The midah takes a long time. The act itself, a one-off action, you can scrub off. Clean the slate, that's gone. Right, but the midah of anger is still inside, and that's going to take a long time until I can uproot it. I need to go over a long time, anger and whatever, however long it's going to take. But that's a light longer teshuva.
So there are many midahs.